Well, Merry Christmas, Lancaster Baptist Church family, and thank you so much for tuning in with us this evening. And it is an honor to stand here and be able to deliver God's word to you this evening. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn with me to Luke chapter number 2, the book of Luke in chapter 2. And of course, Luke chapter 2 is that very familiar Christmas narrative account. And I hope that over the next several days, you'll find some time with your individual family to be able to read through and study Luke chapter number 2. There's so much there about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you just a few things this evening that probably won't be new, but hopefully that will be encouraging to you. So Luke chapter number 2. Of course, the Christmas season is always a time of joy. It's always a time of happiness. However, Christmas is not always a time of joy for everyone. And it's certainly true that there are individual moments inside of the Christmas season that can actually be very difficult. There can be family tensions over things like whose house do we go to? There can be family stress over political conversations or things that may be taking place in our culture. It seems as if there's a never-ending to-do list. It seems as if the Amazon delivery truck will never show up, always postponing that delivery to the next day. There's also financial difficulties and unrealistic expectations. There's reasons for unhappiness during the Christmas season. And those reasons can be anywhere, and those reasons can be everywhere. And of course, the question that we're faced with this evening is, can we find genuine, authentic Christian joy during this Christmas season? Now, this Christmas season, in the midst of pandemics and pressures and protocols and a political season? And of course, the answer from the scriptures is a resounding yes. Yes, we can. We can find true biblical, authentic Christian joy. Because that is precisely what the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ offers to you and to I. And that's exactly what the heart of Christmas is really all about. It's about true joy. Because Christmas is all about Jesus coming to be with us. It's God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. Start with me at the very beginning of Luke chapter number 2. Look with me in verse number 1, if you don't mind. Verse number 1 down to verse number 3. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Have you ever wondered why it was that Joseph would load up Mary on the back of a mule and make this very dangerous 90-mile journey to Bethlehem? When Mary was ready at any moment to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this passage teaches us the exact reason why. And why is it that that Joseph would load up Mary and take this trip? Well, 9 years before, 9 years, catch that, 9 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, there was this little tyrant by the name of Herod. Now, Herod was a prideful person, and he wanted to show his independence to a greater tyrant by the name of Augustus. And so Augustus, in retaliation to Herod, informs Herod that he will no longer be Herod's friend, but in fact, he will be his enemy. And then Augustus orders a census to be taken of all the Jewish families. He wants a census taken because he wants to know how much he can tax the empire because he's angry at Herod. And so follow it. To accomplish the census, every person must return to the town that they belong. Mary is recognized as being a descendant of David. And so because of this, Mary has to return to her town, Bethlehem, for the census. And what caused that? Well, what caused that was Herod had offended Augustus. So think with me here. God is not up in heaven at this point in time wondering, how am I going to get Joseph from Galilee all the way to Bethlehem? Because I made a promise in Micah chapter 5 that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And God isn't in heaven wringing his hands saying, oh, well, should I use a vision or perhaps a dream? And then at the last minute going, shoo, man, thank you so much. Caesar came through by declaring a tax on all the people of the land. No. No, see, one of the reasons why we can have joy in this Christmas season is because we understand what's being taught at the very beginning of this story, and that is that God rules over the world. God rules over all of the world. And God shows how much he has rule over, and he demonstrates the power of his rule by even 9 years before the birth of Jesus, by interceding on behalf of Joseph and Mary with this single act of declaring a tax over all the Jewish people. God rules and uses good men, and God rules and uses bad men in order to accomplish his will. You see what this teaches us today? It teaches us that even the unplanned detours of our lives are actually planned by God. Even the unplanned detours of our lives are actually planned by God. Even the things that we did not expect, even the things that we were not anticipating, even years like 2020 are actually in the plan of God. And not only are they in the plan of God, but they're actually common for the people of God, for the followers of God, for the disciples. And they're common. They're common for you and they're common for me. However common they may be, it's true that oftentimes they don't make much sense in the moment. But God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And yet because God is orchestrating our lives, and because our lives revolve around him and not on us, then we should be willing to submit our way to his way. You see, what we are seeing at the very beginning of Luke chapter number 2 is that God is orchestrating far more than we know. Even in the midst of the political corruption of Luke chapter number 2 and religious compromise and economic crisis, we must remember that God is on his throne, ruling and reigning on our behalf. And it's this kind of a biblical worldview, and it's this kind of an understanding of the scriptures, and it's this kind of a faith in our God that allows you and I to be supremely and authentically joyful during this time of the year. We don't have to simply be optimistic. We can, in fact, be biblically joyful when we have this kind of an outlook, that the detours of our life are actually filtered by our Father who is ruling and reigning over all of the world. You see, this is why we can find joy in the Christmas season, because God rules over all of the world. And not just in Luke chapter number 2, but even in December 2020. Paul would add a thought to this in Galatians chapter 4, where he says, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. You see, you catch that? You catch that understanding from the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia? When the fullness of time had come. It was the right time, not according to anyone else's plan, other than the plan of God. So what we're seeing is we're seeing that we can have true, authentic joy because God rules over the world. But we're also seeing that God works for our good. This is another lesson that's taught to us in Luke chapter number 2. Pick up with me in verse number 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. If you just read through this passage, you're looking at who his mother and his father on this earth are going to be. Verse 4 teaches us that it's Joseph. Verse 5 teaches us that it's also Mary. If you were writing a script, if I gave you a blank piece of paper and said, draw out the script for the coming Savior, push back all that you know and just draw out a script for the coming Savior and how he will conquer the evil that is in the world and how he will defeat sin once and for all and how he will give us a brand new heart. Let me tell you who you are not picking to be his parents. You are not picking Joseph and Mary. You aren't picking a broke carpenter from a nowhere little town that has been invaded and burned to the ground over and over and over again, history teaches us. And you aren't picking this little girl named Mary. You see, Mary and Joseph are not people of position. The reason that we know that they are not people of position is because in Luke 2, the culture, the society was a high honor culture. We don't operate in a high honor culture. Almost completely are gone the idea of yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. We are not a high honor culture, but they were a high honor culture. And what that means is if Joseph and Mary had any semblance, I mean, just a grain of respectability among their peers or their family, there would have been some room for them somewhere. And yet, there's none. And what we see in the story is there's not only is there no room for them, but they have to make the bed of the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger, in the barn with the animals. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, wrapped and laid in a manger. My son Jesse is all about animals. He loves every kind of animal. And he loves all kinds of farm animals. It doesn't matter. I mean, any kind of household pet. He loves all kinds of animals. You know, there's nothing in the barn that causes you to go, you know what? I would like to just lay down there and just take a little nap out here in the barn. Just smells really good. Like just a catch up on a good afternoon nap. No, there's nothing that makes you want to take a nap in the barn. It's important to understand that God's power is big enough to govern the nations, but God's power is also big enough to impact the lives of individuals like Joseph and Mary, like yours and mine. You see, God uses all things for his own purposes and his own time. An uncaring tyrant who makes this edict that all the world should be taxed, causes Joseph and Mary all kinds of great trouble right before she is to bring the Son of God into the world. And yet Joseph and Mary endured these troubles without complaining, without becoming bitter. And as a result, do you know what they see? They see how God is acting on their behalf by sending the Messiah into the world. You see what we're learning? We're learning where true joy, authentic, real joy comes from. It comes from understanding that yes, God rules and governs over the world, but it also comes from understanding that God works all things for our good. It's not just the Luke account that teaches us that. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 28 teaches us that. that God works all things together for good. Life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to another blessing to another blessing and then eventually into heaven. No, life is a winding, troubled road. And one of the lessons that the biblical stories like Joseph and Mary, one of the lessons they teach us, what they help us to feel inside of our bones, not just know in our head, is that God is for us in all of the strange turns and twists of this life. God is showing up. God isn't just cleaning up after us. No, God is plotting the course in front of us. He's managing our lives with these far-reaching purposes, which will be for our good and ultimately, which will bring glory to Jesus Christ. Man, how can we have true, authentic, biblical joy? Well, we should remember that God works for our good. We should remember that God governs over all of the world. And then there's one final thought. It picks up in verse number 8. We should remember that God brings us good news. Look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The shepherds were not a part of mainstream society in any kind of town or in any culture. In fact, they were given the outskirts of town. That's the occupation of the shepherds. They were considered ceremonially unclean. They were overlooked in almost every aspect of society. And can I tell you this? Every culture, there are shepherds. People who are overlooked, people who are outcast, and people who are unimportant. Can I just ask you this Christmas season? When's the last time you took an Uber somewhere and you asked the driver his name or how his family was doing or if you could pray for him? You see, most people don't do that. Or when's the last time at the You ask the name of the clerk at the grocery store, if you could pray for him, if you could pray for her. Or when's the last time you took time to get your mailman's name or the garbage truck driver? You see, in every culture, there are shepherds. In every society, there are shepherds. But what I love about the Christmas story is that when God has something really important to share, when God has very good news, he does not simply go to the blue bloods in Rome. Instead, he sends his angels to the shepherds. And what is the announcement made to the shepherds? Well, I'll give it to you in one word: accessibility. You see, anyone can come to the manger. Anyone can come to Jesus Christ. It's nothing intimidating about the manger. You don't have to flash your ID card. You don't have to have a certain set of credentials. You don't have to go through any kind of security. And so the shepherds, when they hear the good news about a Savior born in a manger, what do? They get up and they go. There's something else to notice. And there's something else to notice. And the other thing to notice is that what was the message they heard? The message they heard was, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and catch this, which shall be to all people. All people, even shepherds. To all people. Not just to one people, not just to a certain kind of a person, Not just to Jewish people or Gentile people or religious people, but to all people. You see, the message of Jesus' birth previewed his life. This is the way that Jesus lived his life. People from all walks of life approached Jesus. One time the disciples tried to keep children away from approaching Jesus. So Jesus rebukes them and he says, "Let the children come unto me." Another time, a woman who had a medical issue for 12 years pushed her way through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Another time, there was a centurion who had a servant that was sick at home, and Jesus took time to listen. You see, the manger previewed Jesus' whole life, but the manger was a preview of Jesus' death. It's open to all who would believe. The sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for sin is open to anyone and everyone who would believe on him. Yeah, that is the message of the Gospels. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All who will believe shall be saved and have their sin taken away from them, can know what it means to receive forgiveness from God, and can know what it means to have a good relationship with God as their Father. I want you to notice one more thing about the shepherds. As soon as they saw and found the baby Jesus, they told everyone they could possibly tell. That's a really good example for us, isn't it? I wonder this Christmas season, will you share the good news of Jesus with someone this Christmas season? Will you share the real reason for the Christmas season with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, somebody that God brings across your path? I tell you, when you share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody, you know what it produces in your heart? It produces joy. Real, true, authentic, biblical joy, which you and I can have. Three lessons to remind us of how even in this Christmas season, we can have true joy. God rules over the world. God works for our good, and God brings us good news through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.